They say it's good to be in the house of the Lord again this morning. I appreciate choir. I appreciate the fervor that you sang with. Sounds like you know what you're singing about. And so often I'm up there with you. Every now and then it's good for the little old preacher man to be able to sit down and listen. Wow. I mean, my voice gets in the way of it. Y'all sure do sound good, I guess, what I'm trying to say. Let me go ahead and announce this. Brady's going to be preaching our youth night, which will be Friday night. That's tomorrow night. So, Brady, son, I know you already know this, but I wanted to let the church know. Invite all your friends. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me to the 139th Psalm, Psalm 139. This is something that the Lord has laid on my heart. It's the desire of this little old servant this morning to make an impassioned plea to a lost and dying world and let them know that Jesus loves them. And I'd love for God to just split me right down the middle and break me and pour out everything. The love that I have for your soul. There's so many in here, and I tell you quite often how much I love you. But what really makes all the difference in the world is when you accept the love that God has for you through that of the sacrifice Jesus made on Calvary. In this 139th Psalm, a lot of folks believe that David wrote this about the time that he became king. He had been through a whole bunch. Let me say, I believe and I know from experience, a lot of you have been through a whole bunch over the last little while. You know, when we go through the storms of life and we go through things that are traumatic, they leave scars upon our heart. They do. They break us. I begin to think about so many of our young people that have taken their lives and so many that are on drugs. And if you really look at it, a lot of that happened because they had wounds that were never dealt with. And some die of hopelessness. They have that feeling that they're alone and nobody cares. Maybe there's somebody here under the sound of my voice that maybe you feel like that nobody cares. And I've come to tell you this morning that God cares. That Jesus cares about you where you're at. We live in a society that, especially with our young ladies and young men also, we live in a society that, you know, they want you to look a certain way and behave a certain way. And, you know, your dress and your jeans have got to have a certain size. And so often that gets thrown on people and they feel uncomfortable with who they are. But in this 139th Psalm, David says that you are fearfully and you're wonderfully made. We're not just some accident of the cosmos. We're not some evolutionary chain or the series of evolutionary events. We are formed by the hand of God. One writer said, "Yea, in my mother's womb, you knew me." And brothers and sisters, the greatest lie that is running through our society is that we're just here today and gone tomorrow and life has no value and life has no meaning. But I want you to know that there is a God in heaven that loves you. And we don't have to feel alone in this world. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and the God of all creation, the Almighty, wants to reach down this morning and love you and confirm you and let you know that you are His. In the 139th Psalm, David said, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me." I want you to know this morning, God knows me. There are things that I hide from you. There are things that maybe I'm ashamed of that You don't know about me, but the Lord knows me. There are things about you that maybe you hide and that I don't know. But you know what? The Lord knows you. He knows us. He sees us. He sees us in our best times. He sees us in our worst times. He knows us this morning. He said, you know my down city. He said, you know my uprising. He said, you understand my thoughts afar off. God knows even what we're thinking. God knows the motivation behind what we do. David said, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. God knows what I say. It may be hidden from some of you, but God knows. Listen, thou hast beset me behind and before and left. Thank God. Thou hast laid thy hand upon me. Is there anybody in the house of God that knows what it's like to have the good hand of God upon you? Let me say this. It's when the good hand of God is placed upon your life through salvation that you find your purpose and you find your meaning and you realize that you're not just anybody. You are an individual. God made you and God loves you for who you are and what you are. He said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's so high I cannot attain unto it. I want you to listen to this. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say surely, darkness shall cover me, even the night shall light be about me. Yea, the darkness hideth me from thee, and the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. In other words, listen, whenever I get to that place in my life where I'm in the darkest hour of my life, God is my light. Let me say to you, listen, and he goes on to say this a little further along. He said, you possessed my reins. He said, you've covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know my what marvelous are thy works. He said, and that my soul may know of right well. My substance is not hid from thee when I was made in secret and carefully wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. In other words, he said, there's no place I can go that God don't see me. There's nothing I can go through that God doesn't see me and know what I'm feeling down in my heart. The Bible said we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tried and tempted, yet without sin. I want you to know Jesus knows what we feel. What worries me and what really troubles my heart and the very essence of this message is simply this. We've got so many of our young people that are suffering from an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. And the world is trying to put their stamp upon you. And so you've got to act a certain way and you've got to look a certain way. And there are a lot of young ladies and young men that have no self-esteem, that have no encouragement. I've come to tell you, God loves you where you're at. We're living in a society, they're trying to teach us to no longer value motherhood. My goodness, what a horrible, horrible thought not to value motherhood. I don't know about you, I love my mother and I love the mother church. She's the one that gave birth. You're not just a birth giver, you're a mama, and that is ordained of God. Young people, I want you to know God does care about you. You do have a purpose. Listen, God knows you and He knows what you suffer. There are so many young people and we grow up to be older. But there are so many young people that go through traumatic things in their lives. Let me say this, and I've talked to men that are my age now, whose mama and daddy's divorced 20 or 30 years ago. And you know what they tell me? And I talk to my little old wife coming up the road, and I hope this is all right, honey, that I share this. And you know what? The psychologists, I despise them. They say, oh, they're resilient. They get over it. Let me tell you something. There are scars in the hearts of these young people. That's so hard for them to get over. It's hard for them to believe that God loves them when everything they trusted has come apart and let them down. How dare us to tell them to just get over it. You don't just get over it. There are scars in the hearts even of some of us adults of things that have happened. You don't just get over it. When you lose somebody you love or they go home to be with the Lord and we try to say all the right things. Oh, they're in glory and they are. They're in the rest of God. And if they're saved, they are. And it's a comfort. But there's still a great big hole in your heart to the place where they resided for all those years and nobody has a right to tell somebody else just to get over it. But in time, by the grace of God, there's comfort in time. And so many of these young people, they've been hurt, and they've been scarred, and they come into the house of God, and we try to preach Jesus to them and an all-loving, all-knowing God. And they sit there, if I was in some of their states and in some of their shoes, I would be sitting there going, Brother Russell, so far my life hadn't exactly worked out that way. And a lot of the things that have happened to you are not your fault. But I'm going to tell you right now, there is healing in the Spirit of God. The greatest healing a heart will ever find, the greatest healing a broken heart will ever find, is when you get born again and you get saved by the grace of God and you pour all that hurt and you pour all that stuff out and let God come in and give you love and mercy and grace. It will change your life. What happens is so often it's not dealt with. We've got a multitude of people, young folks in our streets that have been brought up in the homes without moms and dads that love them. And they've got scars in their lives and on their hearts and they're never dealt with. And they begin to putrefy and they become bitter. And what we see is a generation of angry, bitter people. But I'm telling you, Jesus can make all the difference. There has to be healing that comes from the house of God. There has to be healing that comes from the Word of God. There has to be healing that comes from the Spirit of God. And listen, brothers and sisters, we are ministers of that grace and mercy and love. Dennis, I heard you preach it. We are the ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been sent by a king to tell the people of a kingdom that is to come. Amen. And of a king that loves him. There have been times in my life that I've had wonderful days. Y'all had some good days. Oh, thank God for the good days. There have been some days that I was on the mountaintop and it seemed like you could see for miles around And nothing Satan could throw at you could touch you. When you're standing at the water's edge and they're lined up to be baptized and you get to see the result of the labor of the church and the labor that you've tried to pour into the church, let me tell you, that is a good day. I'd like to think when I close my eyes in death, the faces of all those that I got to see come up out of the altar and say, the Lord save my soul. God, if you'd let me have that run through my mind right before I die, I could die a happy man. No, oh, there's some good days in this life. Boy, that Saturday, I know that Friday night that Devin got saved, he ain't here to pick on. That was a good day, wasn't it? That Saturday that you girls got saved, that was a really, really good day. But I've had some days that are not so good. I've had some nights where I've crawled up in my bed and I've wet my pillow with tears and my heart was broken, and I've actually wondered, would anything change for the better? Oh yeah, I'm not immune to heartbreak. I've been at the edge of my yard on my knees before saying, God, if you don't do something here, just take me out because of pain. The pain hurts so bad. Let me tell you, when you got two children that are caught in the crosshairs of just evil, I don't know any other way to say it, and they happen to be your family, and you're trying to take care of them, and they're fixing to be jerked away and put into a situation that you know is going to destroy them, and you have no recourse, I'm telling you, it's desperate. There at the edge of the yard on my knees, saying, Lord, if you don't give me some relief, just carry me out. The next Sunday, I went to church. And a man came up to me and put his arm around my shoulder. Did you know what he said? Brother Russell, the Lord heard you crying in the edge of your yard. That man didn't live nowhere near I live. He couldn't have knew that. And in the midst of all that, it was like the great revelation that God was saying. I want to tell you, the nights that you've laid in bed and wondered, and the nights that you've laid in bed and you cried because your heart was broken, God didn't leave you. He was saying. He saw it. And He cares. Let me say this to my young ladies. Listen. Society puts so much pressure on you to be a certain way and look a certain way. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you are the daughter of the King. And the Bible said in the 45th Psalm, you're glorious without and within. You don't need society to tell you what beautiful is. Let me tell you, as your pastor, you're beautiful because you're ours. Amen. Beautiful. There are times when you pop in that door with a smile on your face, trying to make eye contact, them little old dimples ringing, and I go, oh, thank God, that's my beautiful girls. Yeah, pop that smile out there, sweetheart. I told you, I love you. And then our young men, the world tries to tell you what it is to be a man. And to be tough and all these different things. I'm going to tell you what a real man is. A real man is a man that gets saved by the grace of God and learns how to love a woman the way Christ loves the church. I'm going to tell you right now, young men, listen, whenever Whenever God made Eve, He saw that it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. The Bible said He put him into a deep sleep. He didn't pull the bone out of his foot. He pulled the bone out of his side, one of his ribs, so that it was close to his heart. A woman's not made to be under your foot. She's made to be a helpmate, and she'll become whatever you love her into becoming. Oh, it's okay if you don't say amen. That's all right. I don't need you to validate the truth of the Word of God. And I don't mean that to be hateful. What I'm telling you is, there are a lot of people that believe that a woman is beneath them. I'm going to tell you, thank God we ought to start treating our wives like the gift of God they are. And I didn't say that to compete with you, Brother Sam. But He knows our hurts, and He knows when we're wounded, and He sees our tears. The one thing, more so than anything else, that God wants you to let Him do for you is simply this. Now, I want you to hear this if you hear anything else. He wants you to let Him love you. You say, Brother Russell, how do I do that? I'll tell you how it starts. You must be born again. Amen. It worries me and it's troubled me all night, this last night, that there are young men and women that feel like they're alone in this world and nobody cares. God sent a little message to let you know He saw every tear. He saw your brokenness. He saw your hurt. And He sees your condition right now, whether or not you're lost or saved. What is His desire for you? His desire is not that any should perish, but all come unto repentance. How long will you let this gaping hole last in your heart? Why not come and allow the salvation of the Lord to fill that empty void? And to those that have been saved by the grace of God, and you've got a hole also, let me say this, in due season. In due season. It don't just happen. You go through the grieving process and you hurt. Sometimes people get angry with God. You ever seen that? People that love the Lord get angry with it. Let me ask you this. How can you be angry with a God that loved your loved one enough to take them to a place that Jesus went to prepare? How can you be angry with a God that loved them enough that as they breathed their last breath down here, they were carried to a place of rest until we all get there? A place where there's no more travail or trouble. That's a God that I want to know and a God that I believe loves me. The closer you draw to the Lord, the more that hole is consoled and filled. Stand to your feet this morning. I tell you, I've tried to make it a point with so many of you to tell you that I love you because I want you to know that I care. But be honest with you, I mean, that matters, but that don't matter near as much as this. He loves you. And He proved His love for you on Calvary, where He suffered, He bled, and He died that you might believe and be saved. They put Him in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Somebody said, don't you ever preach His death without getting Him out of the grave. That's truth, ain't it? Yeah, amen. Let me tell you this. He didn't stay in that grave. On the third day, He arose. What's he doing now? He's sitting right beside God in heaven, making intercession for you and for me. And this morning, he woke up a little old preacher man with a message to let you know that he loves you right where you're at and he wants to be your Savior. What do you got? What do you got? God do help.